Blog Talk Radio.
Password is farm. Today's early bird secret password is farm.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro. Providing the best quality products for your animals at a value you can appreciate. Manapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Wednesday, June the 1st. And we are broadcasting live from Chicken Whisperer headquarters in beautiful downtown Ideal, Georgia. Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, preparedness, and so much more. We invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room where you can meet other Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. The chat room should open up automatically on your homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Please take a moment to register so you can receive your own custom screen name, and then you can join us in the live, ever-so-popular chicken chat room. And let's meet some new friends. We have a great show lined up for you today. It is the first Wednesday of the month, which means it is Garden Wise Living with Arlena today. How cool is that? Get that pen and paper ready. We're going to be talking about expanding and dividing and putting in your perennials and your perennial beds. So how cool is that? Get that pen and paper ready. We hope you will enjoy today's show and want to thank you very much for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro. Manapro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Manapro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Manapro, nurturing life.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manapro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manapro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-222-2000.
651-551-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Oh, yeah!
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is Wednesday. It is hump day. It is Gardening with Arlena Day. But no day can be complete without the one, the only, my co-host, poultry advocate and author, all around multi-talented, Pat Foreman.
I love it when you talk like that, Whisper. Hey,
so,
happy Wednesday. That's
happy
right.
Wednesday.
Okay,
nope.
I did
okay.
it. I had my half a cup of coffee a week this morning. So I'm good shape here.
Okay, hang on. Let me get my paperwork out. I have a big folder here from my attorney. I have to go ahead and open this up. Let me look. item number 763-459, Chicken Whisperer Clause, Pat Foreman. Nothing on the radio show today will be used against us. We do not take responsibility for anything Pat may shall do or say on the days that she actually has a half a cup of coffee. This includes any post in the chat room whatsoever. Thank you very much.
There you go. Yeah, went to the farmer's market early this morning because it was so hot. It is incredibly hot. So everyone was there really early, and so we just went over and, boy, just had that. It's body, soul, and spirit. Half a cup of coffee with more like three quarters cup cream, really. But it's so good. So good. Wow. So it's going to be a great day. How are you guys down there? You faring well with this massive heat wave that's breaking records all across the U.S.?
Yeah, it's crazy. Let's see. Today's Wednesday. Tomorrow, just as from I remember from the Weather Channel, tomorrow is going to be 98, Friday's 99, oh. Saturday's 100, and Sunday's 101. And it is quite warm. I did finally, I installed, I'm kind of like, you know, when I do something, I want to take my time and do it right so I don't have to redo it. But so yesterday I got the air conditioner in Caleb's room all gone because we're doing a little work in there and getting things that organized and whatnot. But so, yeah, we got a window unit in our bedroom, a window unit in his room, and the rest of the house is just nothing. So, but, you know, I've tolerated it better than I thought I would. I've been working outside and inside a little bit. I got to actually go and hook up the Hera to my tractor. I may start that this evening. I got a Hera down the remember back in, I think it was February or March, we planted in this field behind us, we planted some winter rye. And so now we've got to kind of get that into the soil and work it in. So I'm going to hook up the Hera and probably this evening and start that process and maybe finish up in the morning, this evening when it starts to cool off and in the morning before it gets really, really hot, and try to get that off my list of to-do. But, yeah, I went down to the metropolis of Ideal, of course, population 499, and went to the post office, checked my P.O. box, and paid our water bill there at City Hall, which, as a matter of fact, City Hall got their very first computer the year we bought this house 4 years ago. So
that
would have been, 11, 10, 9. So 2008, 2007, 2008, the City Hall got their first computer, and still rarely used, though, but paid the water bill. And then, of course, there's right there in downtown, there's the vegetable stand. And so I stopped by and got two cantaloupes. That's one great thing I love living down here, is that there is no end to fresh, farm fresh produce. I'm not talking about watermelons that are in the stores here in Georgia that were shipped from California. How crazy and ridiculous is that, to ship a 10-pound watermelon from California, like in Publix and in Kroger's? But when we were out running some errands the day before yesterday, we went down to the Cordeal Farmers Market, and there they are. I mean, some of them live so close to the farmers market, they actually pick the watermelons, the cantaloupes, what have you, and put them in the back of the trailer and just drive it. Hook the trailer to the tractor that they use to work their fields, and then drive it to the farmer's market. So you're literally buying these things from the farmer himself. He puts that money into his pocket. I'm not paying for, you know, 3,000-mile fuel costs for watermelons. I'm not paying to line Publix pockets or a middleman who has to buy all the watermelons from Publix. It's going directly to the farmer. And then I know I'm getting fresh, good produce that actually tastes mm-hmm. like the produce that I'm buying. So, yeah, I got a couple of cantaloupes from the guy down here on the city corner here. So those are in the freezer because I plan to cut one up and have it for lunch today.
Oh, you freeze your cantaloupes?
Well, I just put it in the freezer so it'll get nice and cold. When I love cantaloupe, and I love it when it is cold, cold, cold. I'm not a big fan of just, I will. It's not a big deal to pick it and then eat it right there. But I put it in the freezer. This was about an hour ago. So when I eat it for lunch after the show, it'll be cold, cold, cold. It's not frozen, but just nice and cold. So I love the cold.
That's a good
cantaloupe idea.
I bought one at the farm, at the Dave's Little Produce. But I think I'll just stick that little baby in the freezer and have one for lunch, too.
Yeah, I just like it when it's. I mean, I'll eat them when they're just sitting on the counter, but when they're really nice and cold on a hot day, you got to love that. It's kind of like milk, you know. Milk is just, to me, so much better when it's just really, really cold, really, really cold. So, but anywho, that's so far my day, and I've got to, like I said, I got to do a little farming later this afternoon with the tractor, so I'll be doing that along with other things here. But so you've had your cup of coffee this morning. We have to warn everybody.
Half a cup. That's all. Just half a cup once a week. That's it.
I love it.
Otherwise, I just, I'm not, I can't be responsible.
Yeah. There you go.
Over the top. Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, great show lined up for today. Everybody loves Arlena. Arlena Schott. And today, another great episode of Garden Wise Living. And today we're talking about perennials and our perennial gardens and how to divide that, how to expand on it, the whole nine yards. We already have a question in the chat room that they want to know if there any perennials that she can plant that the chickens won't devour. They said they're eating up her hostas like crazy. So we'll talk a little bit about that. So, I got to go over here to my Facebook page, and we'll get to Jesse from Bidbird here in a minute. But apparently he has been searching far and low for picture. Oh, okay, there we go. Yep, if you go over to my Facebook page, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, facebook.com/thechickenwhisper. You'll see a little picture of Pat there.
You know what's funny is that is after I went to the farmer's market and had my half a cup of coffee, I did get a haircut. Actually, I got them all cut, but
yes.
I got one. So that little picture there is pretty accurate, really.
Oh, maybe. While you're there, go ahead and like the page. We're approaching 12,000 fans there on our Facebook page.
Really?
So yeah, it's exciting. This is the last week has been exploding. So we
11,684. Lord.
I'm telling you what, that's great. That's great. So let's see what's going else on. You know what? Let's just go ahead. It's about a quarter past the hour. So I guess we'll just go ahead and get this out of the way.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
All righty, there we go. Okay, I had a button that wasn't pushed on my mixer here, so now I can actually hear me and everything else a little bit better. Got to hear me. You know, if I can't hear me, I don't know what I would do. Just ask my wife.
I don't know what we would do either.
Yeah,
we couldn't hear you, we wouldn't have a talk show.
I love it. All righty, well, it's time to get over here. Let me see. Let me get down here to the switchboard. The peddler line is line four. So we have Jesse calling in from, of course, our friends at Bidbird.com. He's going to tell us about a couple of featured auctions they have today. Jesse, go ahead.
The peddler line. How you doing, Pat? Hey, Andy.
We're doing good. Real good.
You know, Pat, it wouldn't be right if I just went right to the featured auctions. I've got to ask Andy something. First of all, if you're listening live, you really need, and I know that Andy's talked about it, you really need to join us in the chat room because there's stuff that goes on there that you just can't talk about on air. So it is fun. But with that in mind, I want to know, Andy, did you spend the night in the doghouse after abusing Jen the way you did in the chat room yesterday?
Oh,
well,
good question.
After the show was over, I took her into town and got her a nice homemade strawberry lemonade and a slice of homemade strawberry cake from our friends over at Kaufman Farms, and I treated her to that. Actually, before that, however, we were coming into town, and I thought, aha, I can get back on her good side by taking her to our little favorite hole in the wall restaurant here in Montezuma, Georgia. I was just kind of thinking about the day yesterday, Josie's. So first, I was thinking, I took her to Josie's, which is great, 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 great home cooking. And then I took her out to, we ran a couple of errands, and I took her out to Kaufman Farms and got her a piece of homemade strawberry cake and strawberry lemonade. So I didn't have to spend the night in the doghouse or the chicken coop. Though, if I would have had to spend the night in the chicken coop, it wouldn't have been all that bad because we have two brand new chicken coops from myamishgoods.com. They're big 5x8 coops. They're beautiful. So that wouldn't have been a bad deal. But I made things right after the show by filling her tummy with food.
Attaboy. Now, could you imagine?
You dosed her with
go ahead, Jesse. Could you imagine how nice she'd be to you, Pat? I mean, Andy, how nice Jen would be to you if you took her out when you weren't in the doghouse, if you didn't have to, like, fire gifts to make things right. If you stayed on the good side, you'd probably have about 7, 8, 9 kids by now. But anyway, that's just my opinion. You know I love you, Andy.
I know. That's absolutely. You got any fries today?
Yes. Hey, listen, you know, yesterday we had Christina. Help me out with that last name again, please. What was it?
The what?
You know, what was the last name? No, Christina. What was Christina's last name? Was on the show yesterday.
Heinrich.
Oh, Heinrich.
Christine Heinrich, yeah.
I can't say it. Heinrich. Okay, Christine Heinrich was on, and we were talking about the South Blue Lavender gene. And I thought, you know what, let's see what we have on Bidbird. And I figured we would talk about them today, if that's right with you, Andy.
That's fine.
If you are in the doghouse with your wife and you want to make her happy, LP Chicks, which is Kathy Peters out of Georgia, has some lavender Orpington eggs, large fowl Orpington eggs. They're currently available for $20. I actually have one of these birds from her, and I got to tell you, it's the most docile bird we have out here. Non-flighty, just wonderful, be great with kids. And that's from Kathy Peters out there in Georgia, listing them under the username LP Chicks. Gene Ribbick, who is Pips and Peeps, is often here. You'll see in the chat room and stuff on your show, Andy. She has 12 lavender Americana eggs. Lavender and soft blue, remember, is the same genetic, the same gene. So she has 12 of them up, and they're currently for $30. And lastly, Andy, with your permission, we talked briefly, or I heard you talking briefly, about the chocolate gene and how rare they are. There's literally a very small handful of them in this country.
Right, yeah, Hershey now, birds.
What's that?
Hershey birds.
Yeah, Hershey birds. yeah, good thing they're called chocolate, or otherwise Pat would be bitten on them like crazy if they were called coffee. But for the pair of these Bantam Orpingtons, they are at $405. Now, this auction is set to end Sunday. If you want to see something that could be a lot of fun, watch these end Sunday. They're probably going to go from $400 to over $1,000, just a matter of a couple of hours. I've heard there's people waiting in the wings to bid on it. So visit BidBird Sunday and have fun. Watch this auction close out for these chocolate Bantam Orpingtons that are currently at $405. Andy?
So there's actually some people out there that are going to pay over $1,000 for two chickens that could, after they get them, get coccidiosis and die.
Well, they're old enough where they probably won't get cocky. But, Andy, yeah, you keep these, get them to breed, and you're going to turn around and sell them back on BidBird, all the offspring. You'll make your money and then some. Think about it. How many chicks can you produce from a pair? About 100. And if you were to sell them at half the price you bought them for, you'd be in good shape, Andy. Cocky or not.
I guess that makes sense. I'm just, over $1,000 for two chickens. I mean, I love my chickens.
Two chocolate
chickens. I love chickens, and that's what I do, and I talk about chickens, and I go to chicken shows, but, woo, I guess
it's all relative. I'm with you.
I guess it's all relative, though, you know, because some people, I tell this to a lot of folks, you know, some people will go to Walmart and buy a complete train set for $49, and some people will go to the collector store and buy one train engine for $4,900.
Yeah.
So it's all relative, you know. It's all relative.
You know, some people will go and buy a coffee for a dollar, and some will go to those frou-frou places and for a frappuccino spend $10. So, you know,
not me, man. No, not me. That's not me.
You know, I was thinking, Andy, what do you think? We should take some of these pictures that we're putting up on your Facebook page and put them into the collection edition of your cards. What do you think?
Maybe so. Maybe especially the one of me covering the Grammys with Gaga. So
that is a good picture.
Yes, that is
a good picture. A really good one. Yeah.
You know, I just didn't have time, but I was browsing the internet for a picture of you in the doghouse with Jen, and you know, I saw a couple. I just weren't really clear. Yeah, they might show up later on today. I'm not sure, but
you never know.
Never know. Thanks, Andy.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on as always on Wednesday
to tell us
about a couple of featured auctions there on BidBird.com. And folks, you want to check often and check frequently, because you never know what's going to sell, what new items are going to be there for sale. And so, man, I don't know what it is, but Blog Talk is running very, very slow today. Let me see if I can get it. There we go. Okay, now we got it. So, bear with me. Maybe a delay or two in the commercials, maybe a delay here or there, but I don't know why I had a hard time even scheduling today's show. I schedule them in a month at a time, but I only wanted to schedule today's show because I want to work on our show description a little bit later this afternoon. And so it was taking forever just to get this one show scheduled. Normally it's not like that, so they may have some technical issues with their server or something over at Blog Talk. So how about that, Pat? I know you want those chocolate Orpingtons. You're probably going to go over in on Sunday and bid on those, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I'll just go pick them up in my jet. I think
yes.
I'll pick up Christine. We'll just go down there and pick them up in my jet.
Then you don't have to pay for shipping. That's right. You can just say, hey, what's the closest airport with a 5,000-foot runway so I can get my custom Learjet, my custom Learjet.
That way I can hamper them all the way back, keep them cool so they don't melt.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing's worse than melted chocolate. You got that right.
Especially melted chocolate chickens. I mean, little dark puddles instead of eggs to sell later. Oh, dear. Well, that bid's up to $405. The minimum bid, however, is $410. So, we'll see. That would be interesting to watch. Have you ever watched on eBay that the few minutes, it's like the price sometimes just skyrockets as it heads up. Yeah. I love eBay. Okay.
eBay. I've gotten a couple of things off of eBay. All righty, let's see what's going on in the chat room here. If you can't join us in the chat room, I apologize. Still, you'll be able to hear everything that's going on. But like Jesse said, one of these days, if you can try to sneak in the chat room, I know you're at work. A lot of times they have it blocked, but we have a lot of fun in the chat room. We've got Arden in there. We got Bidbird, BYP. We got Kathy and Dibby and Dragon and Garden Wise Living, Grover. Several guests are in the chat room. If you'll just go ahead, guest, and click on that register, then you'll get your own unique fun and creative screen name as well. Then you can participate in the chat room, which means if you have any questions, then you can ask them. We've got Kevin, Love for Poultry, MT Kathy, Natasha, and we've got Pat and Sandy and Sarah and Tater and Teacher and Trish and Walter and Z3Z4. So very, very cool. We got about 5-6 minutes before we go to our next commercial break and before we bring on Arlena for today. And I believe Pat Foreman has some Chickens in the News. Daily Chickens in the News is brought to you by our good friends Meyer Hatchery. They're up in Polk, Ohio, and you can visit them at meyerhatchery.com. Pat, what kind of news you got for us today?
Well, this is pretty amazing if people are into numbers, Whisper. And I want people to follow along because it really works. I've tested it on several people, and they all came out exactly right. And I love this. This is the only time this year, this 2011 is an amazing year, that we will see this event in anybody's lifetime. It's the only time we're going to see it. And what's going on is in July, coming up in July, has 5 Fridays, and 5 Saturdays, and 5 Sundays. So you get one extra weekend in July. And this only happens once in every 823 years. Whoa.
Repeat that again, because that broke up a little bit on my end. Repeat that regarding five Fridays, 5 Saturdays, and 5 Sundays?
Right, in July. 5 Saturdays, 5 Sundays, and 5... Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there are 5 of each of them in July, and it only happens once every 823 years. Whoa. But there's something even more interesting than that. So we've got an extra week to schedule there, Whisper. But there's something more interesting than that, and that is these dates are so unusual. There are 1, 2, 3, there are 4 dates that will be, and then get this, it's January 1st, 2011, so that's 1111.
Right.
There's January 11th, 2011, so that's 11111. There's November 1st, 2011, again 11111. And then November 11th, 2011, which is another 111111. But that's not it. That's not the whole thing. I mean, that's pretty cool, just having all those numbers line up like that. Good poker hands. But what is even better, now follow along with me, everybody. It's just two numbers. So just think about two numbers. Take the last two digits of the year that you were born. Just the last two digits. So if you were born in 1970, you would take 70.
And so even if we have some listeners that were born in 1870, then they would still use the last two numbers if they were born in the 1800s.
That is correct.
Okay.
Take the last two digits which you were born, and now add the age that you will be this year. However old you're going to be, just add that to the last two digits of your birthday, and the results will be 111 for everyone in the entire world. How amazing is that? Got it?
Somebody has too much. Somebody out there has too much time on their hands.
So everyone in the world right now will total 111. I just thought that was absolutely so fascinating. Yeah. So there you go. That's just kind of a news little vignette item. I've got another one, but it can wait. Do you want to go to commercial
break? Oh, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, this it keeps coming at us, and it's not new news, but it's consistent news, and it's important news, so we don't forget it. And here we go. Drug-resistant bacteria and your food. This comes to us from Tapped, and it's a group blog of the American Prospect. This is written by Monica Potts, and what it is there's another new study. Yet again, it's from Wired, highlights another new study about the increasingly terrifying, terrifying is the word they use, terrifying effects of so many antibiotics in factory farms. And it's going chickens, chicken meat, and humans in the Netherlands. So this is international. It's not just in the U.S. Chicken meat, and humans in the Netherlands are carrying identical, highly drug-resistant E. coli. And the resistance is apparently moving from the poultry raised with antibiotics to humans via food. So here's a trans-species migration of drug-resistant bacteria. So anyone of you folks out there that are thinking about this, or if you're interested at all in sustainability or organics and small-scale farming, if you're working to combat foodborne diseases, this may seem like that it's a given that that would happen, and it should, because it's so logical. It's kind of a directly connect the dots. So the first observation that we started with, which was giving antibiotics to animals and that spreads antibiotic resistance to humans, this was made over 35 years ago, Whisper. Back in 1976, they first documented that bacteria, antibiotic-resistant bacteria, could be transferred to humans. And it's just been a steady accumulation of evidence ever since. But have we decreased the amount of antibiotics that we're putting in animal food, even subtherapeutic amounts that come in like that little chick litter or the chick crumble or whatever? No. It hasn't sort of slacked off at all. So there you go. The course, it's not... Well, what can we say? Why are we doing this practice? I mean, I know all the reasons from my animal science studies at Purdue, and I know all the reasons why it makes maybe good bottom line sense for that particular quarter or for that particular flock in the industry. But one of the things that science isn't good about, and I like this is the last paragraph that I really like. One of the things science is not good about is sifting out cause and effect. And when we're talking about our entire food system, that changes over a long time. So we're talking about long-term kind of use of antibiotics. And you know what, Whisper? I have not seen any transgenerational studies, even about the use of penicillin. We don't know what that's even doing to the next generation, much less to our own GI bacteria, flora and fauna.
I haven't seen any transgender studies either.
Transgenerational, darling.
Oh, okay. I thought you said transgender. And I said, come to think of it, I haven't seen any transgender studies on that either. So,
you're crossing over on me here too soon.
Yanking your chain. Okay. So, hey, there was a comment. I saw this last night on Web News. We don't have TV here at the old farmhouse, thank goodness. But sometimes we're like out of the loop, and a neighbor was talking about some big E. coli outbreak over in Europe where, I mean, like several thousands have become ill, and about 16 to 20 people or something are died, and it's just a massive E. coli outbreak over in Europe. Have you seen anything about that, or have I been following that at all?
Yeah, it's been coming along, and I think this latest one that I got, it's sort of part of that. I mean, it's kind of of course, E. coli, now everyone has to realize E. coli is everywhere. All of us are walking around with some E. coli in our bodies. It's just one of the flora that's in there in our GI tract. So not all of it's bad. It's when your body gets out of balance and the E. coli flourish, that's bad. And that can mean, a lot of health problems. And so that's when you bring on the drugs. But now what we're finding out is when you get out of balance, the E. coli is drug resistant. So you got to figure out something else. So anyway, So this, the last sentence, I like the last sentence of this article. It says, what we are locked into is the myth. And, of course, a belief is something you just keep thinking over and over again so until it becomes a myth. It's the myth that massive industrial-scale farms and genetically modified foods will feed the world. That's the myth that they're saying in this article. In fact, it only makes companies richer. It's the local foods and local food production and wholesome or local foods and living soils that will really feed the world in the long run. That's what they said. There you have it. So do your numbers with your birthday and your age. They'll come up to 111, and then watch out for bacterial-resistant E. coli in your food.
Have they tracked down a cause, or have they determined a cause for that over in Europe yet?
Well, I would guess it'd be the antibiotics in the animal feed.
No, the E. coli.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, you're talking about it's well, that's a good question.
Did it come from spinach or broccoli or chilies or tomatoes or ground beef? Or I'm just curious if they've tracked it down.
I don't know.
Cool. I'll see. All righty. Well, we're going to go and take a commercial break. When we come back, during the commercial break, folks, get your pen and paper out. You know, that spiral notebook we tell you to go to the dollar store and buy, so you can jot all these notes down from the specialist we have on our show every week. And so you can get ready, because when we come back, we'll welcome Arlena Schott with another episode of Garden Wise Living. We're talking about perennial gardening, how to expand them, how to separate your perennials, what kind of perennials you might want to plant. And if there's time, we'll talk about what people are planting in their gardens, and we may even take some calls for Arlena as well. So we'll be back right after this short break. Stay with us.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waterers, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Pat got disconnected. Pat got disconnected.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
You are so bad. Oh, dear. Yeah, Jen says, I didn't say how big the cup of coffee is, even though it's half a cup.
yeah, half
just
a cup.
How big
of...
is that cup? I can say it's a mug. It is a mug. Yeah.
A mug.
Oh, what a hoot.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go ahead and get over here to the switchboard. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Arlena, if you're out there listening, press 1. Oh, there you are. You already have. Bingo. And if...
Now, don't disconnect her.
I'll try not to.
Don't disconnect me. I'm here.
There we go.
Hey, Arlena, welcome.
Don't disconnect me. I am here. I know you did, Pat. You just went click. See ya.
I did.
Yep.
I did.
He does that occasionally. I'm not sure what he's trying to say, but I don't take it personally.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Tater Farm.
Have you had your coffee today, Arlena?
I have at least 4 or 5 cups in the morning. That's just
oh,
what
Lord.
I do. I mean, I love coffee. My coffee is when I'm like, coffee and cake. That's really good. I like coffee and cake.
So is that how you start your day, is with coffee, 4 cups of coffee and cake?
Oh, yeah, every day. How do you think
oh,
I
my.
Keep this girly figure? No, I don't have cake every morning.
Every other morning. That reminds me of the old Bill Cosby skit where he was like, you know, new dad, and the kids come down for breakfast, and he gives them chocolate cake, and he's like, eggs! Eggs are nutritious!
Yes.
Eggs are in chocolate cake! Sugar!
Yes, dad is great.
Flour.
He feeds us chocolate cake. Dad is great. He feeds us chocolate cake. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
And then next thing you know, mom comes down the steps and her face, and she has a conniption. And it was so funny. I love it.
Oh, he was
that's
hysterical.
Right.
Love him. Yeah. Okay, so you're buzzed, too, with your 4 cups of coffee and chocolate cake. It's going to be a great show here.
It's going to always be a good show.
Absolutely.
Well, let's roll with
about
it.
Perennials. I mean,
yeah,
perennials are where it's at.
Today I thought we would talk a little bit about dividing perennials. I know, again, here I go again. It's there are times when there are better times than others to divide your perennials and moving them around, but if time permits, and if you're looking at me like this weekend, I looked at one of my perennial gardens, and I went, oh, my goodness, things are out of control as far as the perennials are huge clumps. And then I have started a really nice new bed on the east side of my house, so I thought, you know, I don't care. If it's too warm, that doesn't matter to me. I'm going to move some things around, and they always do very well. So if you choose to, right now, if you're looking in your garden going, oh, my gosh, these plants are just out of control, I'd love more room to add more things, or mm-hmm. some of my, maybe, for instance, my iris are taking over my daylilies, well, move them around. Take them out. I call it tearing it up. So I just get in there and start tearing it up. The only thing you really would like to think about, though, is when you're going to transplant them into the new bed, make sure the new bed soil is moist, ready to go. Or if you don't have a bed ready, you can always put them in used containers, nursery pots that you've gotten other plants in, and save them until you're ready to put them in the new place. Or you can just heal them in somewhere just to hold them until you're ready to transplant them to the new garden. But the best way I do it, I just get in and start grubbing. And when you do that, for instance, right now our irises are blooming. But, you know, if I don't have next week to wait or next month to do this, and I really have time to do it right now, just do it. That's one of my favorite things, just do it. But take your snippers, clip off the beautiful blossoms, and put them in a vase in the house and enjoy them that way. But snip off a lot of the green, because you don't want to have that perennial root ball taking care of all that foliage and those flowers blooming. So if you're wanting to grub a whole bunch out, for instance, take your shovel and stick it straight down and take a quarter of the plant away, then push the soil back up next to the mother plant, and then you have a really nice shovel full of new perennial to add to your new perennial bed, or give to your neighbor if you have too many, or your friends or family. But it's very important to snip that whole green off, even the flowers. Just keep that root ball is your most important thing to keep healthy, and she doesn't need to have to maintain all that green while she's trying to re-root in the new bed, because she'll do it for you many, many years from now. You know, many, many years down the road, she'll continue to give you all that beautiful blossom. But for now, let's concentrate on grubbing her out, getting her snipped back, and then getting her replanted in the new bed. And that's just another way for us to save money and just keep multiplying our gardens out and our perennials.
Or your neighbor's gardens.
Or your neighbor's gardens if you don't have room, absolutely. That's a great way. If if your neighbor always is admiring your garden, and you know for a fact that, for instance, my coneflowers are just out of control. They reseed everywhere. So my echinaceas are just everywhere. So this year I didn't till my beds. Like we talked one time before about how I wait till the last minute to get my beds worked up, because I want to know exactly what came up from seed and what came up from little baby sprouts first before I start working it up, so that I can scoop up those little guys and transplant them somewhere else, or put them in another container to share, or take them in a box over to the neighbor's house. But it's really a great way to share the love of gardening, as well as to make more and cost you less money.
Right. Well, actually, Arlena, I was thinking about going and digging up my neighbor's plants and bringing them home.
There you go. You can do that. What you do need for that, this is the best tip ever. You need an alarm clock for like 2 a.m., and you need a shovel, the quiet shovel, and you need a flashlight. One of those that goes on lightly and then goes off. Or you can use your cell phone. Just, put it on vibrate. And
right,
that works really well, too. It really does. But make sure it's 2 a.m. is usually pretty good.
Pretty safe,
because,
except the dogs.
Yeah, and
except
if they don't have dogs. But if they have dogs, then you're in trouble.
It's
because, the dogs will let them know that you're there, and then you've ruined the whole surprise aspect of it all. You can send them a thank you card later. I have no problem with that, really. If you want to do that, you go right ahead.
Some of my good friends have these prize hostas, and I was thinking about expanding a place with hostas. So that'd be a good time to do this type of year. Just get my hosta bed ready and go hustle some hostas.
Tussles and tosses, absolutely. We call it coonin' here in Wisconsin, but that's, I guess, I'm not sure where that all came from. Maybe we shouldn't go there. But anyway, it's about taking watermelons out of the field, I think, wasn't it? But actually, hostas, now this is great. New Hampshire Hosta is, they are the supplier of all my beautiful hostas, and I probably have about 80 different varieties.
Oh, my gosh, I'll come to your place.
Yes. They're absolutely really starting to be gorgeous, and I don't know if anybody knows that saying out there. First year hostas sit there, second year they grow, third year you can divide them, and fourth year they explode. So this is they're in their fourth year, and they're just gorgeous. Now, of course, hosta lovers out there will say this is the wrong time of year. Usually you should do that either late fall or early spring when they just start to poke their little crowns out of the ground. And, yes, I agree, there is a time and a place. But if, for instance, like yourself, you're ready to do it, you're taking the time, we're just going to do it, and we're going to do it now, you can. Take your shovel. Either A, you can, if you have a hosta bed that you want to take one huge hosta out completely, take your shovel, dig out about 6 inches around the plant completely and lift the whole bunch right out of the ground. Then what I do is I either use my shovel or snippers. Okay, we'll be a little bit more down to earth here. We'll use our shovel, our snippers instead of a shovel. More, what do you call that? Instead of a caveman type woman, I'm just going to be a little bit more practical, and we'll use clippers this time just for you guys.
I could use a backhoe.
So we're going to snip off off the greens. Because, again, those roots are the most important part of that plant. She can grow new greens, but we want to make sure and keep those roots very, very healthy, and we don't need her to have to try to take care of all that green. It's kind of like our hair, you know? We're going to snip it all off, and we're going to give her the best chance in the world to grow stronger. So then you take your shovel or a spade or a small shovel and you divide off those pieces of root, and you can see how a hosta has the separate nobs, you know, you can see how they're all separated. So you can take off a chunk and then you have, as long as each of those nobs have a really nice piece of root, you've got lots and lots of plants in there. And you can take one huge hosta and divide her up into 20 to 30 plants, depending on, of course, how old she is. And then again, we're going to plant her back into a nice moist area and water. And by midsummer, she's going to grow a new green anyway. And then next year, you know, first year she stands there, second year she grows, third year she can divide, fourth year she explodes. So go right ahead, do her. Knock on the door with your shovel in hand. Bring a piece of cake and a cup of coffee. She'll probably give you lots to start.
They have a whole front yard full of all these different hostas and ferns and stuff. I think she'd love me to dig some up. Hey, Arlene, I didn't know this, but I just Googled it. Did you know that hostas are edible? Apparently they grow them in Japan as a food, and there's a little note on here that you get the leaf shoots about 2 inches long. They're not yet unfurled, and you can just eat them. They taste like mild, slightly salted asparagus.
Ooh. Oh, yum. There you go. You try her out and you let me know. That sounds wonderful. The plantain lily, so I'm sure that they're going to be wonderful. So how about this? You report back to us next, third Wednesday. That's when I'll be back again. So
well, I need 3 years. I got to have them explode, though. I don't have it already. I got to go snitch them and then plant them and then wait. You're the one with all the hostas. Why don't you give it a whiz? Try saute some. See what they taste like.
I will.
They really taste like asparagus.
I'll let you know. Absolutely. And if they do, that's wonderful because I have lots of
colors. Well, I wonder if
colors.
Chickens will eat them. Maybe it's a crop you can grow for your chickens. They would certainly love the shade and then, you know, cleaning out the mulch and the bugs.
Nope. They don't eat them. They love to dig around, but the base of them, which irritates the heck out of me at times, but they don't tend to want to eat the leaf, as long as there's other things, other vegetation that they can go chew on. But, no, they don't tend to want to eat them, no.
Right.
But they do dig up the root, Chrome, so you want to watch that. They do like to get down in there and fluff around and eat the bugs, but then pretty soon your root chromes are all sitting out there in the sun baking, and you don't want that.
There's a way to avoid that. It's really simple. Just put a little cluster of stones around the hosta, which also keeps...
Go ahead and try that out and tell me how that works.
it works for my other plants. It certainly so I collect river rocks anyway when I'm on the river.
So. Oh, sure. Yeah. That would work, actually. Or larger stones, you mean, so the ones they can't move? Okay, then
yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, the ones they can't move. I mean, we're talking about the little, you know, they're not
Yeah, the little
strong.
Cluster of stones. No. Okay. So then there's also...
Here's a recipe from Japan. You serve them with mayonnaise or your favorite salad dressing or soy sauce with grated ginger or dried bonito flakes. Cut the leaves 1 to 2 inches.
Try this.
Yeah, wash them, cook them in boiling water for just about half a minute, basically blanch them. Drain in a colander and you're set to go. And they look really attractive. They sell them in the stores there. Hosta.
Really?
Yeah.
I am going to have to try this out now. It's going to be a garden-wise show for sure.
Yeah.
I'll have to try it out.
Let us know.
But this, I'll let you know.
If we cook them here in the South, we're going to batter them and fry them. I can tell you that right now.
Yum.
That's right.
That would be okay, too.
I bet it's good with grits. Hostas and grits.
Yum. Yep. So then, for instance, what if you have this huge monster daylily, like Stella Dior daylilies? So the Stella Diors are the ones that, or Happy Returns, that bloom continuously all summer rather than the old-fashioned daylilies that bloom once and then they're done. And then you have, like, for instance, I have two huge monster ones that are sitting out in my front by my front entrance. And I'm going to go help my daughter put her new yard in. So I thought I will dig up those monster clumps, and I can get probably 150 small little clumps of Stella Dior daylily out of those, and each one will grow beautifully. They're kind of like hosta, or kind of like iris. Well, if you throw them on the ground and forget about them for a year, they're going to grow right there. So Stella Dior's are the exact same way. Dig out about 5 or 6 inches away from the plant clump. Dig it straight up, and you'll be able to see the little gnomes under there, the roots. They're a tuber. And then all you need to do is clip all the green off, or actually, you know, they're so tough, you don't even have to do that. If you just take a knife, a sharp knife, and cut them into big, like, handful clumps, there'll be little massive pieces of pie kind of daylily. And you don't even have to cut the greens off of those. They grow beautifully, and they will restart just quicker than ever. And you'll have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of daylilies if you take a big old monster clump and then separate her out. It takes a little bit for them to get going, you know. First year they'll sit there, but it won't take long, and they'll get going just like your hostas.
Hmm.
Or if you have Gloriosa
daylilies. Guess what, Arlena?
What?
There's
what?
Daylily recipes.
Yep, edible. Daylilies are edible. Most parts are edible. Of your daylilies, and you don't want to eat the stamen of them, but the petals are edible, absolutely.
Yeah,
most of your
full
flowers
of stamens,
are edible.
You're exactly right. Make sure there's no bugs hiding in them, and shake them dry.
Tater Farms got a question in the chat room. She just transplanted some lilies of the valley. They're not looking so good. Anything can she do to help them along? She just transplanted them.
Hello, Tater Farm. Good question. Well, first of all, clip off all the green. Your lily of the valley are a root, just like, for instance, we were talking about hostas and lilies. They're mostly a root flower. That's what helps them. So clip off most of the green if they're not looking well. Again, trying to maintain all the energy growing to the root rather than trying to keep all that green alive. So if you need to, put a little stake to where you know where they're at. Keep them moist but not over wet. And they should probably, and they'll re-root, because lily of the valley are very, very hardy, right in the hosta and the lily family. So I wouldn't worry too much about it, but that's what I would do. I would clip off all the growth just so that gives them the energy to go down rather than up. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there lily of the valley recipes? I know part of it's poisonous. I'm checking that, but I don't really. Isn't the flower toxic? What am I thinking of?
Of lily of the valley?
Yeah, there's part of that we were always told as kids, don't eat it, that it's toxic.
Yeah, I don't know. I would look it up before I went munching out there.
Okay. I'll check it out here. Okay. Cool.
All these people have all these daylily farms around them. That's wonderful. How exciting is that? I would like to go.
Yeah. Take your shovel. Go at 2 a.m.
No, at 2 a.m. Yeah, I was at my alarm clock.
Take your shovel and your, and your flashlight.
Yeah, you have
Ladies
to.
And gentlemen, and please do not post your physical address in the chat room unless you want your daylily patch to be bare by morning.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you know, it's all about sharing. I think it's all about sharing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Daylilies are poisonous. Don't eat them. I tried.
Okay. There you
okay.
go. Good job.
Oh, good.
So it's just all about making more perennial gardens. And take out lawn and put in more perennial gardens. That's what I'm all about. But
good idea.
I have a really good another tip. If you're thinking of putting in another perennial garden inside your lawn, and everybody always goes, oh, dreaded, because you have all that sod. Do it on a sunny, sunny, hottest day you can find, first of all. And then I'm a tiller, so I'm tilling because my gardens are large, okay? You can choose to use a shovel all you want, doll, and you go right ahead. I'm using my nice, big, yellow friend. And we're going
on the hottest
to till. And, what's that?
On the hottest day possible. Isn't that what you said?
Yes, the hottest day possible. Sunniest day, windiest day, whatever possible, when there's not going to be any rain for a couple days. Now, the reason being is when you till, all that sod will come up to the surface and it will die in the sun. Either that or you can put weed barrier down, but or newspapers or cardboard, but this is my best tip. When I put in a new flower bed and I'm working up a piece of grass or lawn area to put it in, I choose a hottest day possible, a day I know there's not going to be rain for a couple days, and I till it and I let it sit. Killing that sod, then I rake out the sod clumps and I till it again and I let it sit. And it's like a 3 to 4 day process without chemicals. And you will be surprised how much of that grass will never come back in because we're letting the Mother Nature kill it out. We're going to till it. We're going to let the sod clumps lay there in the sun, baking in the sun, dying. We're going to rake those out after another day or so. Then we're going to till it again one more time, bringing up more sod clumps that are going to lay in the sun and die and rake those out as well. And you will be surprised at how much sod you will not have come back into that garden. But again, you want to remember that it's not going to rain for a couple days because otherwise you're just basically replanting everything. It's like weeding your garden in a rainstorm or tilling your garden in a rainstorm. You're basically replanting your weeds.
Excellent tip.
But that's a good tip. It works really well.
Yeah. Well, you know, Whisper, you're going to love this, but I've got an asparagus bed. It's about a third of an acre that is way overgrown. And I was thinking about just weeding between the rows. Mowing or weed whacking really closely and then putting down cardboard and then mulch. But I could just rototill. Ooh.
You could. You could. I have a little red friend and a big yellow friend, and I just absolutely, they are my buddies. And I am so excited in the spring when I walk in the garage or in the shed and I go, hi, kids, ready to go to, we're having fun this summer. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
What are their names? Little Red and
Little Red and Big Yeller.
Yeller. Very Yeller.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyway, it's just too fun. And you don't have to. And actually, an asparagus bed, like you say, would probably work just as well with cardboard and, newspaper and carpet. Carpet is a really great weed inhibitor. The first time I ever saw that, my son-in-law is a carpet layer. So my daughter was dating him, and I went over to we went to his house, and in all his beds he had all his carpet laid out, and I thought, what in the heck is this dude doing here? But it is the best chicken inhibitor there is. He had chickens running loose, and he got so tired of them digging up around the house, fluffing and making holes for the critters and stuff. He took layers of carpet and he laid it in his garden beds, and he put beautiful red mulch on top. And they didn't touch anything ever again. They got a lot of big surprises when they tried to scratch into the carpet. But it worked really well.
Yeah. I think, as I remember once, you have to be careful what kind of carpet you use in your garden bed because of it can contaminate the soil with polymers or break down into, with the dyes. I remember reading something about that.
You want to be aware. You know, it's like everything else. You know, you want to be aware of anything that you're putting in your garden, your mulch, your fertilizer, your seeds, everything. You want to be, it's all about being aware of what's going on, not just relying on.
Right, especially the rubber back is bad.
Yeah. Right, you just want to be aware.
But it is good, yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm. It works.
Just not those fine old orientals. Don't use those.
No. I like to use my horses to mow, too. Actually, I'm going to really, really miss my calves this year, only because I have new calves. They're babies. They're just about weaned, not quite. I get new ones every year. And last year I had them, and they were just steers. They were steers and almost ready to butcher, I don't know if I should use that word. But anyway, that's what I raised them for. So I had a hot wire, and I love hot wire, and I just move it around. And anywhere I needed mowed, I would just move them. I was like the mover capital of the world here because I could just move them and they'd clean up and I'd move and they'd clean up and I'd move and they'd clean up. And this year I miss them because my little guys aren't munching grass yet. So I really do miss that.
What kind are they?
I have Holstein Angus Cross. But
oh,
I
that's
do
nice.
Have,
okay.
Mm-hmm, I do have four Holstein heifers that I'll raise for springers and sell them just before they calve. And then on the rest I'm going to keep to breed back, I think, and I have one bull calf that will become T-bone steak, I'm sure.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, you got quite a herd there then.
Yeah, there's quite a few. I like last year, the year before, it's always 2 years or so, I only had four. This year I've got quite a few more. So it's
yeah, fun. Yeah. So how much land do you have to keep
going? We have 25 acres.
Okay, so you're in good shape. Excellent.
Yeah, we're in good shape. We raise our own hay, which is all natural grown. So we pretty much are aware of what goes into our food, which is very, very important. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Good for you.
So perennial questions. Anybody out there have a perennial question for me? This is all about moving our perennials around, even if you just want to move them. For instance, I have a coral bell, hookera, if you want to get botanical on me, a coral bell that I noticed this spring is really nice and big. It's about 18 inches across and about a foot and a half high. And then right next to her, I have a hosta. That's my praying hosta, which if you've ever seen a praying hosta, the leaves kind of fold up. It's kind of like a prayer plant. The leaves fold up in the daytime and open up in the nighttime. She's called a praying hosta. Well, she this is her fourth year, so she's exploded. Mm-hmm. And she needs to be moved. So I have to decide whether I'm going to move my coral bell or my hosta. Now, coral bells are a little more touchy to move because they are kind of a ground needle creeper, and they're tender rooted, where a hosta, like we know, is just these monster rhizome thing roots. So I think I'm going to move my praying hosta rather than my coral bell hosta. So I'm just going to dig her up, big old monster clump, and take the whole thing with me and plant her somewhere else. Instead of trying to break up the root system, I'm just going to dig the whole thing up of the hosta, pray hosta, and move her over. And then I'm just going to fill in with some good compost around my coral bell, and I've done it. I've moved her, and I've maintained that little spot. But very, very easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody has any perennial question, that is a perennial question. What?
Well, yeah,
why
we'll
is
go to
there
commercial
life
break.
Rather than nothing? Isn't that the ultimate perennial question?
What's that?
Wasn't that Socrates? Why is there life rather than nothing? Wasn't that Descartes about existentialism?
I think so.
That perennial question.
Or there's the question of is a perennial, what's a perennial and what's an annual? Perennial, this is how I learned what a perennial was. The word perennial meant. Perennial, two words, means they come back year after year. Annual is one word. Annual, one word, one time. Woohoo! Isn't that smart?
That's pretty good. I thought it was before annual.
There was a dead silence there for a long time. Perennial, before annual. Oh, that's funny. Okay,
we're going to commercial on that note.
Let's go to commercial.
Exactly. We're going to go to commercial break, so stay with us, folks. When we come back, we can take your questions. Give us a call, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. And if they're about perennials, great. If they're about perennials, that's great. Or if there's any gardening question you have for Arlena,
Then go ahead and give us a call. Give Arlena a call. Talk to her one-on-one, 347-637-3237. I think she normally charges $4,000 an hour for consultation, but you can have it here free by calling 347-637-3237. Stay with us, folks.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
When you need an incubator, think Brensie, the incubation specialist. Brensie has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensie.com. Brensie spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensie.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensie, technology you can trust.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I would have been back a little sooner, but Blog Talk Radio must be having some issues because the switchboard wouldn't come up. But we have welcomed back my co-host, Pat, and, of course, today's guest host, which, of course, is Arlena with Garden Wise Living. We've been talking about perennials, and I got a question sent to me, Arlena, and let me get over here to where I can read it. It says here, the question that is, this is from Z3Z4 Baby in the chat room. I'm going today to get a little chest freezer so I can freeze some food, and I'm going right now to pick up two raised garden beds with a trellis on them. I want to grow some food that I can put up, but I'm not going to have a lot of room. What would be the most yielding things that I can plant in my raised bed gardens with trellis? And, of course, one thing I put down was cucumber, because we grow our cucumber up a trellis or up a fence in our backyard, and it works wonderfully. So she could have fresh cucumber, and she could also have some pickles and pickled some of those as well. And so we thought, and Pat, you can elaborate as well. What are some other good high-yielding things she can put in her two raised beds, and she does have the capability of them climbing as well?
I would do green beans. If you do a pole green bean, those will go straight up just like your cucumbers.
Yep.
And those give you lots of production and little space if you use a pole green bean. And they go straight up a trellis just like your cucumbers. What else? Tomatoes, if you contain your tomatoes, they won't flop over, and then you can plant more things and in your contained bed if you want to use like a bush tomato, which gives you a smaller tomato but more of them rather than like the big beefsteak or the better boys. Use like an early girl or a Roma tomato that give you smaller tomatoes but lots more of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. Yeah, cucumbers, green beans, tomatoes. Let's see. Potatoes, they'll make, put them really next to the side of your raised bed, right up next to the corner, and then they'll run right along the edge of the bed rather than coming straight out. So then you could have a few potatoes, a couple hills, or one hill. We'll just give you a few, depending on how big your raised beds are. But let's see, cucumbers, tomatoes, lettuce, Swiss chard takes up little or no space, and you can plant those in clumps rather than rows. So if you just wanted to draw out yourself a little square spot in that raised bed and make that your little lettuce patch, you could do that rather than a long row and taking up too much room. And most of your Swiss chard and your lettuces, if you get slow bolt lettuce, that is, will go throughout the season. Or Swiss chard does, definitely goes throughout the season, and I love to use it either fresh or steamed, either way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Quick question, Arlena. Were you saying to plant the pole beans and the cucumbers the same trellis? Could you do
no,
that?
No, I wouldn't do that. You could do that. I have seen people do that. It gets a little cluttered because what happens is your cucumber plants will have huge leaves and it'll shade your green beans. But I have seen it done. Depending on how much room you have, if you don't have a lot of room, put one on one side and one on the and then cucumber on the other side. At least you'll get some sort of maybe sunlight for your green beans. That would be the worst thing, I guess, that would happen is those your green or your cucumber plants have such large leaves that they'll usually tend to take over where your green beans have the smaller leaves and they would need a little bit more sun. I would just do two trellises, one on each side, and do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, there's a comment that the cucumbers will choke the green beans out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yep.
There were a couple of questions about asparagus earlier and during the break. I see you're in the chat room. You want to address those questions, or do you remember them? There was talking about transplanting and production.
They were about transplanting and what to look for. One of our guests in the chat room was talking about wanting to plant asparagus, but wanting to know what they're going to get into, or moving asparagus, I think is what it was, transplanting. And asparagus roots are long kind of tentacle-looking things. So when you do move them, you want to make sure you dig deep And depending on how big the clump is, yes, you want to dig real deep. And most of the time, you're at least a foot and a half to 2 feet deep for most of your roots if they're established in anything older than 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 year clumps. Now, if you're looking at 12 to 15 year clumps, those clumps are going to be massive and monstrous. So you want to remember to give them lots and lots and lots of soil around them. Or you can wait till fall when they go dormant, and you will notice that the little crowns are gone dormant. Everything went to seed, snip them off, let them go dormant. Then dig the clump up, and then you can separate them out and take the roots away and then plant them separately. You could do that, and that would give you actually more. Of course, it's going to take longer for them to establish and produce asparagus for you, unless if you just dig the whole clump up and move it, you're more than likely going to have asparagus the next following year right away. Where if you divide them up, you're going to take another year to establish and then produce a crop for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what about right now, just going and digging some roots to give to someone that wants to start an asparagus bed? Would they be better off to just order them from a company, or could they just gather some roots and stick them in the ground?
They're hard to transplant. I've tried it myself you go along the country. Here we are with our flashlight again. But anyway, if you try to dig them up from the countryside and move them, they're tough to do that. They're kind of temperamental that way. It's kind of like a wild fern. They don't like to be transplanted. If they are a domestic, if somebody has a domestic crop that they just don't want to mess with anymore and they've asked you if you'd like to take them, heck yeah, get in there and dig them up. But again, leave lots of soil and make sure you bring a wagon along with your flashlight at 2 a.m., and so that you can carry them. And you don't break up that root ball if you're going to do it this time of year. I wouldn't break them up this time of year. I would just leave them in one big clump. Or order them. And I think it's almost getting a little bit past that time where most companies don't ship after a certain time because of that reason.
Okay.
But
well, listen, Carolina, it's just about... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, just do it.
Just do it. Yeah.
Do it.
Well, it's time for our trivia contest, and this has been so interesting. I've got 4 pages of notes here, so thank you so much for coming on. We've been talking with Arlena Schott.
And 3 pages of those notes are doodles, right?
How did you know? I love doodles. I had a dog named Doodle, in fact. So anyway, Arlena, thank you so much for coming on. Arlena,
you're
Schott
very, very
welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. And your website, again, is gardenwiseliving.com. Folks can
go and see
your website there. Okay. And we'll post that again in the chat room. Okay.
Wonderful.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on. If you like what you heard, Arlena, before you go, tell us how we can continue to follow you and spy on you on Facebook and on your websites and your blogs before you leave.
Oh, spy on me away. I love it. Twitter, I'm at Green Blessings. That's Green Blessings on Twitter. Facebook is Arlena Schott is my main page, or my fan page is Garden Wise Living on Facebook. So, or on my website, gardenwiseliving.com, www.gardenwiseliving.com. So you
Sweet.
Can find me any way you want.
Good deal. Thank you so much.
What was your Facebook again, Arlena?
It's Arlena Schott for Facebook. Would be my personal page, which is basically where I'm at most of the time. Or I have a fan page, which is Gardenwise Living. And I try to post separately on both just so it doesn't get redundant, but sometimes they get the same thing. But anyway.
Cool.
Okay,
Green Blessings.
I'll put those in the chat room right here then. Very good.
Okay.
Oh, alrighty. How cool is that? And, of course, for the record, any of you who are thinking about coming over to my place at 2 a.m. with a flashlight and a wagon, I just want to forewarn you, I do have mines planted. I do have tripwires throughout the property. I've got 2 dogs that will let me know you're there, and I am a sharp shooter. So when you see the sign that I have posted on my fence that says, if you can read this, you're in range, well, then that's your warning right there.
So you only shoot sharps? So if it's a dumb person that comes over, they're okay.
Yes,
they're
yes,
shooting
yes.
Sharp people.
Sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter, yeah.
Exactly.
So dummies, just come on in.
Just forewarning everybody. All right, it is now time for our chicken trivia question for today, Wednesday, brought to you by Ware Manufacturing. More than likely, most of us have a product made by Ware Manufacturing regarding our little critters that we love so much. But if not, whenever you go to that either local mom-and-pop store or big animal chain store or whatever it may be, you probably have seen their products, Ware Manufacturing. And we have a nesting box for today's lucky winner, a Ware Manufacturing nesting box. So today, again, like we I think we did yesterday, today we had an early bird secret password. If you were fortunate enough to remember the show was coming on at noon and got in the chat room and were listening on time, then you may have heard today's early bird secret password. Early bird secret password. If you know that, caller number 10, 347-637-3237, 347-637-3237. Bidbird doesn't think that I have tripwires. Bidbird, come on over. He doesn't. I'm serious. Come on over. If you don't think I have a tripwire, then can come on and try your luck. That's all I've got to say. not
oh,
kidding.
Dear.
So, okay, let's see what else we have here. Oh, so caller, what did I say? Caller number 10?
Yes.
Yeah, call number 10, 347-637-3237. If you know today's early bird secret password, 347-637-3237. Somebody says, I'll bring the cloak of invisibility.
But you'll still get tripped up.
There you go, exactly.
And you have to be dumb or he's going to shoot any sharpie. Oh,
that is so funny. Oh, my goodness. Yep, I take protecting my let me rephrase this. I take very seriously watching out for people who try to infiltrate my perimeter.
Oh.
Let me put it that way. Anybody who tries to infiltrate my perimeter is going to have a bad day. I'll just put it that way. Okay, let's go over to the phone lines.
Did you just see the Sandy in the doghouse picture?
No, let me go over there and check it out.
Perimeter infiltrator.
Hey, Jen, come check this out. She's in the kitchen,
I love
actually.
My wife.
Probably making me a sandwich.
Right. That's very, very funny. Oh, my God, that's so funny. And Jen looks so happy.
Yeah, Jen is sitting there. She is laughing at that picture. She came in here to check that out. So, very – Andy's in the doghouse. Okay.
And it says, okay, yeah, we're going to run out of time here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's real see. Fast.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer with Andy and Pat. You're live on the air calling in from area code somewhere in the state of Georgia, 706. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Natasha, and I'm
from Calhoun, Georgia. Calhoun, Georgia. Very good. Thank you so much for listening today. Hope you tolerated our bad jokes and weird sense of humor today during the radio show and then maybe in the chat room as well. So the question is, what is today's early bird secret password?
Farm.
It is farm. That is exactly right. Congratulations. And you have a nest box from farm. So thank you very much. Hey, what you need to do, Natasha, is I don't think you've won on the show before. If you'll just send me an email to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Send me an email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, and in the subject line, if you'll put nesting box winner, and then in the email, if you'll put your name, your shipping address, and telephone number for the shipping, if we have any problems with that, your name, shipping address, and telephone number, I'll get that over to the great folks at Ware Manufacturing, and they'll ship out your nesting box to you as soon as possible. So we thank you for that. So another great show has now come to an end, and we will return tomorrow. Tomorrow being Thursday, guess what? First Thursday of the month, we're going to welcome
poultry scientist, Dr. Bridget McCray. Poultry scientist, Dr. Bridget McCray. That'll be tomorrow, and then another fun Friday this Friday. Pat, take it away.
Okay. Well, today we've been talking with Arlena Schott of Garden Wise Living about perennials. Learned so much about perennials. And, of course, Andy, make sure and get Jen lunch. She's going for two, so make her sit down and you just go and pamper her right now. Of course, thanks to our chat room engineers for clucking along and all their incredibly intelligent comments in the chat room. And, of course, thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, the chat, and the video services. Oh, we love all you poultry pioneers so much. Please stay cool and hydrated. And blessings to all, and may the flock be with you. God bless everybody. Oh.